Well, good morning again, everybody. It's good to be with you. Is anyone else grateful for how the worship teams led us into the presence of the Lord this morning? I know I am. Well, my name is Ryan Alexander, and I serve as the lead pastor here. It is good to be with you at both of our campuses, as well as with all of you who are joining us live or later online. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. I know many of you give electronically through recurring giving, so just pass the basket and wink at the person next to you and say, I give electronically, all right? But seriously, that's super helpful. Those of you who do that, it's helpful for you. Hopefully, it's helpful for us administratively. There's a growing number of people who are giving that way. Here's the thing. If this is your church home, we want you to grow in your faithful biblical giving. Here's why, primarily. Because we want you to experience all the freedom and the peace and the joy that living and giving like that brings. If you know that to be true, say amen. Amen. There's so much freedom and joy and peace and giving the way the Lord leads us to. So thank you for that. If you are a guest with us, just know that you're welcome to participate in this part of the service, but you're also welcome to just be our guest. Although, if you've been here for 10 years and you're still calling yourself a guest, let's talk, all right? We'll talk. Well, speaking of guests, I was a guest preacher at our two partner churches these last 2 weeks. Rejoice in Northfield 2 weeks ago, Community of Hope. Last week was such an honor to be a guest preacher at those two partner churches. If you haven't already heard, you should know this. Those two churches are prayerfully, seriously considering merging with us, becoming part of the Hosanna family. And I think that's really exciting. And so I invite you to pray for those congregations, pray over the process that we're in with both of those congregations. I also want to invite you to come to our annual meeting where you can hear more about those potential adoptions, as well as lots of other updates and highlights of our Multiply Vision at Hosanna. The meeting is October 29th. It's a Monday. We've already checked. There's no Vikings game that night, all right, or Packers. So come. It's at the Shakopee campus because we want all of you to come and see this important part of our Hosanna family, the Shakopee campus. And also check out the Heart Warehouse there. And again, hear all of those updates. There are also going to be Q&A sessions in the 4 weeks leading up to that congregational meeting in Shakopee. It's in the Nook in the atrium and in Lakeville, at the Lakeville campus. It's just across from the One Way Cafe where you can come and hear more about what's going on at Hosanna. All right? Now, the last 2 weeks I haven't been here, but I think we've done okay. Right, the weekends here have been pretty strong, actually, don't you think? Some powerful worship, and some inspiring, impactful messages. Pastor Julia, a couple weeks ago, landing the plane on Why Church, and last week, my wife Jen kicked off this Plan B series. Two strong, gifted leaders and preachers, period, who happen to be women, right? And I was just thinking about this. Yeah, we can clap for that. And I was thinking about this, you know, when I put the preaching calendar together, you know, months ago, no idea what would be happening in our country right now, but I know God did. And I'm really grateful for his timing, and I'm grateful for those two voices at Hosanna and in our world. Amen? Amen. Yeah, let's just keep clapping. I'm happy to. All right, so Plan B. This is a series we're in. Plan B. What is Plan B? Plan B is that point in our lives where we realize that life's not going how we planned. It's not going how we thought it would or how we thought it should. Right? That's that moment. Many of us have had that moment when we realize Plan A is slipping away and we are now struggling to embrace Plan B in our lives. And this moment happens lots of different ways. It can happen suddenly, where a curveball, massive curveball hits our lives. Maybe it's an illness or a job loss or the loss of a loved one. Some of you, pastorally, I just sense this. You know this all too well, how Plan B can hit us suddenly, the reality of having to embrace Plan B. And then Plan B can kind of just evolve over time. Our Plan A's can erode slowly over the course of months or even years. And then at one point we realize, oh, Plan A has slipped away. And both can happen. Suddenly, slow erosion, in some ways the sudden moment, at least gives us a wake-up call to the reality that Plan A is no more, and now we have to figure out how to embrace Plan B. And the slow erosion, it can take a while to wake up to that thought. But here's what else. Here's something else that can happen. And this is where my heart has been breaking all week in preparation for this message. In some cases, people never realize that there's a plan B. I mean, their plan A's fell apart and they think that's it, it's over, or even more. They think that plan A is all there is, and maybe they even lived plan A successfully. They fulfilled plan A, but they never realized that there was so much more to their lives. God's plan, God's purpose. That's what we read about in this theme verse for our series, Proverbs 19:21. It says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Many are the plans in a person's heart. Many, 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 many plans. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Or what we're calling plan B. God's purpose prevailing, winning out in our lives. We have lots of plans, don't we? And we have lots of plans in our lives. I know I do. And that's not the issue. That's not the issue. We are created to plan. Scripture tells us that we are created in the image of God. This is the imago Dei, image of God. And you think God's a planner? Just take one look around. God's a planner. We're created in God's image. Ecclesiastes 3 says that God has put eternity in the human heart. So we are wired up to have this future orientation, to have expectations or plans for our lives. That's not the issue. The issue is what happens in that moment, whether it's suddenly or slow erosion over time, or maybe we never have realized that there's more to our lives. That's the issue. And in each of those scenarios, there is a common denominator. There's a common barrier. There's a common reason that we struggle to embrace God's plan B or God's greater purpose for our lives. There's a common denominator. Do you want to know what it is? I bet you do. Then you better keep listening, all right? Because we're going to look at another heart-to-heart that Jesus has with his disciples. Last week, we looked at a heart-to-heart that Jesus had with his disciples or his first followers about his plans, a heart-to-heart about Jesus' plans for their lives and for the world. And that heart-to-heart was in John 16. And we're going to look at another heart-to-heart that Jesus has with his disciples in John chapter 6. It's about a year. We have to rewind about a year in Jesus' life and ministry from where we were last week to get to this point. In John chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up. In John 6, Jesus is pouring out his heart. It's a heart-to-heart. And he's pouring out his heart to his disciples, his first followers, saying, here are my plans for not just for their lives, but for the world, for his life. But certainly, it has implications for their lives. He's pouring out his heart. Here are my plans. In fact, he's pouring out his heart and saying, here is the core, the centerpiece, the key to the master plan for your life. He's pouring out his heart. You just kind of imagine it. And you should read this whole heart to heart, but I just want to jump right to the end because after Jesus pouring out his heart, here's how they respond. Look at this. Verse 60 says, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? How can anyone embrace it? You see what's going on here? Jesus has poured out his heart. Said, here's the plan. Here's what life's really about. Here's what you need to know. If you're going to know the master plan, that God's greater purpose that's going to prevail in your life, here's what you need to know. And here's the disciples' response. We don't understand. That's hard to understand. Or that's just plain hard to embrace. Have you ever been there in that situation? Maybe as a parent or as a coach or a mentor or a teacher. I mean, you've just poured out trying to explain something, trying to help people understand something. I don't understand. I'm going to go play video games. Not that this has ever happened to me as a parent. That's what happens with the disciples. This is this plan, the core, the centerpiece of your plan for our lives that it's hard to understand or it's just plain hard. Which one is it for the disciples? Is it hard to understand or is it just plain hard? Now this is where, in preparation for this message, this happens from time to time as a preacher. My understanding of this passage got stretched. I've spent time in this passage over the years many times. But my understanding of what's happening here got stretched. Because when you look at the Greek, the original language here, what you find is that they weren't saying that it was hard to embrace because they didn't understand. They were saying it's hard to embrace because they didn't want to really understand. They didn't want to embrace because it was these plans, because it was hard. It was hard. And would have made sense, the translation. That's why I've always assumed that that's what it meant, that they didn't understand what Jesus was saying, because prior to that, he's talking about in order for them to have this life that he's come to bring, that they need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And that's pretty, you know, abstract and mysterious and hard to understand and strange and all that. So of course it would make sense for them to be confused. And actually, Jesus is alluding there to his sacrifice on the cross and the Last Supper that he will share with them a year later. And then the Lord's Supper that we share now today, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But that's not what was keeping them from embracing his plan for their lives. That wasn't the core of their struggle. That was this common denominator that I talked about earlier, this common barrier, this common reason that we all can have in our lives that causes us to struggle with God's plan for our lives. Don't you want to know what this is? I'm getting there. Because we're going to go to the front of this conversation, to the beginning of this conversation, because I think this is where we see why the disciples struggle to embrace God's plan for their lives. Verse 28 says that, now here's a little context first. So they have just witnessed, the disciples, these jaw-dropping miracles of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. And so here's where we pick it up. Verse 28, they replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" You can just see it in their eyes. Like they've seen these miracles and they're like, "We want to do some of this too." Right? If Jesus can do that, what can we do? They are making plans, many, 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 many plans based on what they've seen. You see it on their face. It reminds me of a story, just a quick story, of time when our family was in Arizona at the same time that Pastor Bill, our founding pastor, and his wife Nancy were there. And we were meeting up with them at a baseball game, but Bill and Nancy were staying at some generous members of Hosanna, let them stay at their condo in Arizona. And Bill was the lead pastor then. I was just an associate, so I was staying in a hotel. But anyway, but they also let him use their convertible Corvette, right? Red. All right, and this was just like 6 months before Bill retired and I became the lead pastor, okay? That's an important piece of information. But as we're waiting in the parking lot for Bill and Nancy roll up in this convertible Corvette. And you should have seen the look on my boys' faces, because what was happening in their minds is Bill's the lead pastor now. Our dad is about to become the lead pastor. If this is what it means to have your dad be the lead pastor, we're in, right? I mean, they're making all kinds of plans beyond red, you know, Corvettes here. And you should have seen their faces when I said, "You know what? You're still going to be rolling in a minivan come 6 months from now." And that's kind of what the disciples had to deal with here. The looks on their faces must have been when Jesus says this, because they're saying, "Hey, we got plans. We got plans." Here's Jesus' response. Verse 29. Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." This is the only plan I want you to think about right now. This is the primary plan. This is the main plan. This is the key to the master plan for your life, he's telling his followers then and now. If you want to know God's master plan for your life, here's the key. Believe in the one he sent. Who's that? Jesus. That's the key. That's it. The word belief, the Greek, it's helpful to understand, the Greek is pistis, which means faith or trust. So Jesus is saying, here's what you need to think about. First and foremost, primarily, in fact, just focus on this. Everything else will come into place. Trust me with your life. Trust me with your plans. Trust me with your plan A's and B's and C's and D's and Z's. Trust me with everything. He's saying, here's what you need to do more than anything else. give me control of your life. Let go of control. Make that your plan. Ding, 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 ding. This is that common denominator. This is that common barrier. This is that common reason that people struggle to embrace God's plan, to embrace God's greater purpose for their lives, because it requires letting go of control. If we're going to embrace God's plan B for our lives, God's greater purpose for our lives, if God's greater purpose is going to prevail in our lives, it requires a letting go. Plan B starts with letting go of control of our lives. This is a simple illustration, but if we're hanging on to our lives, it's a purple coffee mug, right? This was on a Shakopee mug, not a Vikings mug, just for the record. You'll be fine if it was. But if we're hanging on to our plans and our lives, like with a vice grip, our hands and our arms are not available to embrace God's plans for our lives. You see it? If we're hanging on like, this is my plan, this is my life, this is my plan A, I'm gonna make it happen, come hell or high water, there's no space, there's no room, we don't have hands or arms to embrace God's plans for our lives, you see it? We've gotta let go of control. Or maybe a better way to say it is let go of the illusion of control. That's right. Control is an illusion. You know this. If you don't know this, pastorally, I love you enough to tell you. You think you're in control of your life. That's an illusion. Yeah, as kids, we get this, right? I think when we're younger, it's easier to see. You have to go to school. You have to, you know, do your homework. You have to do your chores. And I'm not in control of my life when I'm young. When we're older, we kind of get this. We can't control aging. We can't control the fact that at some point someone else is going to have to take care of us and we'll be out of control of our lives. Life will come full circle. But in the middle, we fall into this trap, this illusion of thinking we are in control of our lives. We're not. We're not. And there's this deep anxiety, even if we don't admit that consciously, there's this deep anxiety inside of us that tells us, yeah, we know that. It's what can cause us to act controlling. If you're acting controlling, it's because you feel out of control. If you're acting out of control, it's because you feel out of control. It can have the opposite effect. But the reality is we are not in control of our lives. But as long as we keep thinking that we are, we can't embrace God's plans for our lives, God's greater purpose for our lives. And it's not until then that we get to experience taste with increasing amounts of fullness and abundance, God's plan for our lives. But we have to let go. And when we do, we begin to see how God's plan B and God's purpose, whether we have a shattered plan A or we have a successful plan A, either way, until we let go of our plans, we don't get to experience the more that God has for our lives. And we, in this series, we have this incredible privilege and opportunity to hear from people who have gone through plan Bs. Plan B experts, if you will. Who would sign up for that, to be a plan B expert? Because it means you've been through the school of hard knocks to become an expert at plan B. But this week, it is such a joy for me to welcome to the stage my friend, Tori Holt. Would you join me in welcoming Tori to the stage? Hey.
How's it going, buddy?
Good. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
You look nice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I decided
Is that awkward?
To not wear jeans today.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Good to see you.
So last time we were sitting somewhere together, it was a Twins game with our wives. It was a beautiful night,
yeah.
Unforgettable night. Twin season was kind of forgettable, right? But we won't.
Very forgettable.
Yeah, but we won't.
Moving in the right direction.
Spend
hopefully.
Too much time there. Talk about plan B. But anyway, we're here to talk about your plan A to plan B and how that's played out in your life. So first of all, tell us about your plan A and what you had in mind for your life and how that played out.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I saw a speaker last week. She was wonderful. So I hope to do that justice. For me, it kind of picks up, and I've spoke a lot about this in the past. I was about 25 years old, and my life kind of bottomed out in college. I wanted to be a broadcaster, sports broadcaster. I went to school to do that, and I needed to get sober. And with God's grace, I did, and have been sober since.
How many years have you been sober now?
It's 15 years.
Wow.
15 to 16 soon. So, yeah. So that's kind of part of my plan. And around that same time, I met a guy named Glenn Sonmore, who some people might be familiar with, who became my mentor in that. There's a picture of him at his 85th birthday party. He passed away a couple years ago, but a wonderful man that helped lots of people. But we were in the same field. And Glenn kind of helped me navigate my way through sobriety. And when I got sober, I had this plan that I'm going to be what he is. I'm going to be a sport broadcaster. What he'd always tell me is, I've never worked a day in my life. I've never faxed anything, and I've never emailed anything, and I'm never going to. And he was a coach and a broadcaster. And I put it in my head that this is what I was going to do. And I think God was with me along this time. But it was my plan and me putting me first. And it took off, and it led me all the way from the minor leagues in hockey to the National Hockey League with the Colorado Avalanche and then the Dallas Stars. I get to Dallas, and this is where God was pushing me into a different path because it was all about me and plan A. I'm in Dallas, and it was kind of like that Joe Mauer moment. A guy named Mike Madonna, who started here in Minnesota, was finishing his great career down in Dallas. And on that day, it was really special to me growing up in Minnesota. Here's me working for the Dallas Stars at the time, and I'm doing the post-game interview on his greatest day as he's saying goodbye, much like Joe did on Sunday. It was that kind of moment. And I thought, man, I had made it.
Yeah.
Like, this is what it was all about. But it was pretty empty.
Yeah. But if your plan A was to become an announcer in the National Hockey League, doing that interview in that moment, it's like you made it. That was the epitome or the apex of your plan A. And so then you just lived happily ever after, right?
Right. It doesn't go that way, Ryan. Yeah. See, that's why we're talking about plan B here. So you get to this point and it is empty because it's all about you. And here I'm 34, 35 years old at the time. And I'm a single guy and it's been all about me and trying to make more money each and every year, trying to get more accolades each and every year. And I got there and God is like, this is not why you're doing this. And he was trying to push me in another direction. Within 2 months, I went from interviewing in April Mike Madonna, thinking I had made it, to mowing lawns in the summer because I lost my job in Dallas for $11 an hour. Pretty humbling deal. And I thought I'd probably just get another job again. And I lost, they filed for bankruptcy, the Stars did at the time, and they laid off like 20 people. And I'm thinking I'm going to go right back into it. Well, I end up in this space for a couple of years between 2011 and 13 where I'd get odd jobs, I reaffirmed my Christianity, and I came back here to Hosanna, and I started dedicating my time here. As these years go by, I started getting frustrating that things weren't going the way I wanted them to. And this kind of led me into setting up an interview with, not an interview, but a session with Pastor Bill Boleyn.
Probably felt like an interview.
It did. So I end up in Bill's office, and I'm sitting there, and he's like, what's going on with you? And I'm like, I'm frustrated in life. I think I'm doing all the right things. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. I'm volunteering at the church. I'm trying to help others in the AA program, much like what Glenn did for me. And nothing's working out for me. I can't get another job in the NHL. And we don't have the time, but a lot of crazy things happened where the doors didn't open. And Bill says, can I pray for you? And I said, yes. I go, I feel like I'm the Vikings just about to go to the Super Bowl, and every time I get close, I miss the field goal.
Yeah.
And I said it to him, and he was dying. He was laughing. He was like, I do need to pray for you. So true story. I hope he's listening. He didn't really know me, but
he's probably in Arizona.
Right. So he prays for me. And he said, Tori, are you willing to do what God wants for your life? And I said, yes, I'll do whatever. I'll do whatever God wants for me. I'm sick of living this way. And he goes, well, sometimes God isn't changing your circumstances because he's trying to change your heart. Hmm. Great, great stuff. So I walk out of there and nothing too different, except for I felt pretty good about what we had talked about. Well, that night I had been seeing this lovely lady for about 3 months at the time, but I didn't know if I was leaving and going somewhere else. We go and we have another fine time at the Minnesota State Fair. I go home that night. I saw the text from her again last night. I looked at it. It was time-stamped. It was like 11:58 at night. I get this text from her. She has no idea that I spoke to Bill. She has nothing. She doesn't even, I don't even think she spoke to Bill in her life. She sends me this little message that says, sometimes God isn't changing your circumstances because he's trying to change your heart. Hmm. And I'm like, I think I'm meant to stay here. Yeah. And I embraced it. And we are married now today. And we got married right here at Hosanna. Within a week, I got offered a job here that I still have today in right here in doing high school sports. And it's been unbelievable. Like, I didn't want to do high school sports. I want to do pro sports. But it kind of leads into everything that I'm doing here today. And the plan B included a wife, a son that's two, three step kids. I went back to college. I even had a chance to go play baseball at school at Northwestern. There's the morning of going to the NCAA playoffs for football as a coach there.
Torrey's the oldest collegiate pitcher of
ever.
All time.
Ever, not yeah. In the nation. Yeah.
In the nation,
yeah,
ever. I thought it was ever, but yeah. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, maybe am, I don't know. It was pretty cool. Jim Ford is. No, this is stuff that you would never imagine. And then now today I'm coaching and I'm trying to do what Glenn always taught me was to take our stories and our experiences and share them with others. Because really the only way we can change the world is by changing one life at
Amen.
A time, right?
Amen.
So,
amen.
It's been awesome.
Well, and we're all in each in our own way. Thank you for sharing your story. It's so powerful. Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's an honor to be up here. The kids you coach are blessings. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And that relationship is forever.
Yeah. And I know as we've talked over the years and even this weekend, I mean, for you, the shift from plan A to plan B was about letting go of control. It started there in Bill's office, or you referred to it as his chambers last night. But anyway, okay. Turning to Jesus once again, embracing Jesus. And then the plan B is beyond what you ever could have imagined in your life.
And it was the same thing with the sobriety. I got down on my knees and I didn't want to feel like that anymore. And I asked God to take away that obsession to drink. And I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want to do with me. And I haven't had that urge ever since then. And a lot of work goes into it, but it's amazing.
Praise God. Thank you again, Torrey, for coming up here.
Thanks, buddy.
It's one thing to talk about plan Bs as a preacher. It's another thing to hear a story of someone who has lived out this plan B journey. And isn't, let me, I would ask you after hearing that story, isn't God amazing at plan Bs? Isn't he amazing? I think you could even say God is masterful at plan Bs. He does some of his best work with plan Bs. And you heard it in Torrey's story that a couple of points in his life, and it's usually not just once, he had to let go of control. He had to let go of his plans. This is how my life's going to be. Let go. And let God, as that saying goes, let God work. And then it's when he turned, ultimately, it wasn't, the apex of his life wasn't when he did that interview. The apex of his life was when he turned to Jesus, when he embraced Jesus. And for each of us, if we're going to know God's plan Bs, his greater purpose for our lives, it starts with letting go. And then immediately after that, the next move is to embrace Jesus, to embrace him, to let go of control. And to plan B has to start with embracing Jesus in our lives, of reaching out to him. He's already reaching out to you, but reaching out to him and saying, yeah, I know this is the only plan I can count on. Peter, the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' first followers, he got to this point. I want to finish. This is right at the end of that heart-to-heart. Jesus says in verse 66, at this point, many of Jesus' disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words that give life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. The thing that can be a barrier or a common reason that causes us to struggle, embrace, is letting go of control. But once you realize that there's only one who truly is in control, and his name is Jesus, and we turn to him and embrace him and say yes to him, he's the one plan that we can count on. He's the one plan that will last. Where else are we going to go? He has the words to eternal life. And he has the way to eternal life. It's the cross. It's the resurrection. It's all those plan A's, the ones that were shattered, the ones that were successful even, that were still living. That Jesus takes all that on the cross, those empty plans and those empty, he takes them on the cross. And he overcomes all of those broken plan A's and successful, quote unquote, plan A's. And then the plan B, 3 days later, the resurrection. It is the ultimate plan B in Jesus Christ. It starts there. It starts there for each of us. And when we know that ultimate plan B, we can know that there is always a plan B for our lives. There's no life that's too shattered, that's too broken, that's too far from God, that's too messed up. God can always bring a plan B to our lives in Jesus Christ. Amen? And here's the thing. Even when this life ends, because it will, there's still a plan B then. Because at the end of this life, it's not the end. God invites us in Jesus Christ into the ultimate plan B. In the resurrection, where we get to come into his arms for eternity, and this plan B will exceed our wildest imaginations and expectations. And that's going to be a day. But that starts in each of our hearts, in each of our lives, with each of us saying, I got to let go of control. I got to let go of control of my life, my plans, my plan A's. And I need to immediately turn to embracing Jesus. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know about all the details. But I'm going to embrace Jesus, because in Jesus, I know there is a future and there is a hope and there is eternity with him. So it starts with us letting go, embracing Jesus. And maybe you've done this before. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've done this 5,000 times, because it is a daily thing, giving control of our lives over to God. I just came across some notes in my Bible and I made a note to myself. Surrender to God, family, finances, flock, and future. As preachers love alliteration, don't we? But how do you guys surrender that daily, all that stuff? And we do too. And so in this time, I'm going to invite you to pray after me if you feel led to do so, whether it's your first time giving control of your life over to Jesus or your 5,000th time. I would invite you to pray after me in just a moment. I'll let you know when. Let's pray. God, thank you for providing the ultimate plan B. Thank you for the cross. You repair the shattered, fractured world that we live in through the cross. You are doing that even now in the resurrection. And you're doing the same thing in our lives. Thank you for the ultimate plan B. And now, Lord, we ask that you would help us to let go of control and embrace you and embrace your greater purpose for our lives, that it would prevail, that it would win out as we say yes to you now. I invite you to pray these words after me. Lord Jesus, I give you my plans. I let go of the illusion of control. I trust you with my life. I embrace your greater purpose for me. I embrace your plan B. You alone have the words of life. From here on out, my plans start and end with you. In your name I pray. Amen.